Recent terror-related news has been about London's various attacks, and yesterday Brussels had a close shave with another attack near its central train station. However, one country close to home that is also fighting an unwavering battle with terrorism gets little to no coverage. The Marawi crisis in the Philippines continues to worsen by the day. Officials say 350-plus are dead, and the city has been swarmed by ISIL-linked groups since May. To discuss the Marawi catastrophe, and more importantly, find out where and if an end exists, is Dr. Stephen Rood. Dr. Rood was formerly associated with the Asia Foundation and is currently a visiting fellow at the Australian National University in Canberra. Dr. Rood, welcome to The Wire.
Thank you for having me.
I want to talk firstly about the conflict itself. The troops think that they can have this story sorted out by the end of Ramadan, but what has been the main struggles in this campaign?
Well, the fact of the matter is that at the beginning, IS-linked, Islamic State-linked insurgents had basically roamed all over the city, but now they've been confined to the downtown, very densely populated area. And it's, very, very rough urban fighting. There are civilians trapped in there, so the military has to be careful about how they move. And so they've repeatedly set deadlines such as this, but have had trouble meeting the deadlines. The insurgents seem to have no shortage of ammunition and so are able to continue the fight.
I want to draw on that there. Why has the seizure of Marawi been so important to these ISIL-linked groups?
Well, these are groups who, some of them have been around for quite some years, the Abu Sayyaf and Basilan, which is a small island off the main island of Mindanao. But others, such as the group that is rooted in the area near Marawi, Lanao area, the so-called Maute brothers, are newer. But both sets have been, in recent years, pledging allegiance to IS, and this is their attempt to step up their game, to not only be undertaking hit-and-run tactics, but to try to hold territory the way IS took over Raqqa or Mosul in Iraq.
So is the incident in Marawi reflective of the entire Muslim situation in the Philippines? I understand that there is a high Muslim proportion living in Mindanao, and particularly in Marawi, so I would think that brings concern of pockets of further attacks in the future.
Well, certainly there have been ongoing sporadic insurgencies for decades down there as the Muslims try to find a way to have more control over their own affairs in a largely Catholic country. But the main groups, the Moro National Liberation Front, the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, have indeed got peace deals with the government and are in the implementation stage. So they are, in fact, on the government side in this struggle. And, for instance, the MILF has helped the government escort civilians out. The Moro Islamic Liberation Front says that implementation of their agreement is the best vaccine against the ISIS virus. But on the other hand, of course, there are people who are disgruntled. There are people who are saying that it is taking too long to implement these agreements. And there are, to be frank, people who find the idea of a worldwide caliphate attractive. And so, yes, there are definitely folks down there who are, albeit a small proportion, are able to assert themselves in that way.
Can I draw on that peace deals comment there? What do we know about those particular peace deals, and how come it's taken so long to actually implement them?
Well, they're basically, in the last 40 years, been looking at increased autonomy for the provinces down there. The local governments are indeed run by fellow Muslims, but their powers are not as much as they would like. They want to have increased powers, increased autonomy. The trouble is, of course, that in a largely Catholic country, there might be others who are, other places who are reluctant to provide more autonomy down there. And so it's been hard to get the National Congress to pass the relevant implementing laws. Current President Duterte has vowed, even just yesterday, vowed once again to get these laws through in order to increase the autonomy, in order to give Muslims more control over their affairs, and, he was frank, in order to have them take care of this situation.
Yeah, how has President Duterte been involved in his administration dealt with this ongoing issue. We know he's been a tough talker. We've even seen him reject U.S. intervention at various times. He, obviously, U.S. intervention is now involved in this particular incident. How has the administration dealt with Marawi?
Well, at first, when intelligence reports first surfaced some months ago that this might happen, because it was the Maute brothers who took over a nearby town for a few days in November, the president was sort of nonchalant and said, go ahead and try. Now he has reacted to this by declaring martial law, not only in that area, but over the entire island of Mindanao, in order to try to deal with this. He has basically said he's got two tracks. One is the tough-talking, bomb them, let's kill them all, and the second is let's make sure that the autonomy gets passed. He has a fair degree of credibility down there. For instance, in Marawi City, he won close to 80% of the vote in last year's presidential election. So this is an area that by and large supports him, although it remains to be seen what their reaction will be when they go back and find a devastated city.
Do you think that the U.S. intervention, which has so far been relatively positive, do you think that Duterte's view of the U.S. will now be swayed, particularly in how he chooses to deal with them in the future?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, President Duterte, in fact, some months ago had said that he was going to have a very good relationship with President Trump. And, in fact, Trump, on a phone call that got leaked, did praise President Duterte's war on drugs. And it was criticism of the war on drugs that really irritated President Duterte beforehand. Throughout the administration, his military, his Secretary of Defense, his generals, have tried to soft pedal his anti-U.S. rhetoric because they know how useful for them cooperation is with the United States, such as this one where they're doing some surveillance and some intelligence fusion.